What are the security threats your organization perceives to be most urgent? Do you have the capabilities to implement those controls? Sometimes you need to go outside and bring in a third party to help, but what do you look for when searching for a vendor? And how do you build a true partnership with that vendor? Finally, is there still room for innovation in the security realm? That's a lot of questions, and we'll get to that. On this episode of Code Red, you'll hear from Patrick Streck, Senior Director, IT at Bay State Healthcare. Our other guest is Aaron Meary, CIO and VP Government Relations at Improvata. I spoke to the two of them about the way Bay State and Improvata work together to address security issues. This episode is about the customer-vendor relationship specific to the security space. And while these are just two of many providers and security vendors, Patrick and Aaron were kind enough to share some great tips that worked for these two organizations. Perhaps these will help you as well. Stay tuned.
Intrusion detected. Code red.
I'm here with Patrick Streck, Senior Director, IT Services at Bay State Health, and Aaron Meary, Chief Information Officer and Vice President, Government Relations at Improvata. Patrick and Aaron, thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So, Patrick, the first question is for you. Bay State Health is an MRAM Stage 6 health system. Could you just summarize what kind of a patient population you serve?
So, Bay State Health covers the western half of Massachusetts for the most part. We are the only level one trauma center in western Massachusetts. We cover about 800,000 lives with a primary medical center, that's an acute care center, and then three regional community hospitals that feed into our, you know, what would be called our mothership. We have a pretty diverse population. We are centered in the city of Springfield, Massachusetts, which is not the best off financially, so we have a fairly large indigent population and serve, you know, a fairly poor group in many instances, but there are pockets of affluence around the region. So we have a broad mix of Medicare, Medicaid, as well as privately insured patients that we cover. We are a participant in the NextGen ACO program through CMS, and are seeking to be pretty avant-garde in a lot of ways from a technology and patient advancement perspective.
So what kind of a security issue did you have that got you to the point where you had to seek out solutions out of the marketplace? And what job were you trying to get done?
Well, our primary concern is usually tied to HIPAA and privacy concerns, with obvious intent. But I think the threat that we found to be most immediately prevalent was that it really is faced more by the banking sector. And quite honestly, those trying to gain access to financial data or financial records or even monies directly and seeking to get through via phishing or other means into our network, and recognizing the need to really have a greater level of security around our identity access management, our user authentication methods, and other forms, you know, above and beyond sort of the critical nature of just protecting PII, PHI, or even CPI data.
So this is kind of the classic case of let's get into healthcare in order to get to the financial information, correct?
It's actually even, it was less subversive than that, you know, the threats we were seeing. It was truly, hey, can we get at people's paychecks? As an example. So whereas you'll hear out, you know, that a person's medical history will garner $50 per account on the black market versus 10 for a bank account, the, you know, sort of more immediate and stringent threat, you know, was actually for us to protect our own staff in many ways, to say nothing of our patients. So what we are seeking to do is actually put broad protections in place before we have, you know, any major and significant compromises that would, you know, jeopardize any, you know, significant portion of that, of those 800,000. I think like every health institution, we have minor events that we have to address and remediate very quickly. Our intention here is to try and head as many of those off as we can with a broader and stronger solution now.
Were you able to determine whether this was a concerted, organized effort to attack your organization, or did you just feel kind of random and needed to do something about it?
I think that there are multiple events that come through on any given day. So to say that it was a concerted effort, I don't think that there was an instance where Bay State Health was being targeted in some grand scheme with the intent of compromising the entire data set. I think it's more a matter of having a lot of email addresses out there and a large user population. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, when you've got physicians and other relatively highly compensated individuals in play, you know, those tend to be targets for identity theft and other information. And we haven't seen that extend into the patients that we serve, you know, seeking to potentially target high net worth patients. But we are trying to avoid having that scenario come into play.
What kind of criteria did you use to evaluate outside organizations when you started thinking about bringing them in?
We really started focusing in on some of the national forums that we leverage. We participate with Gartner and the Scottsdale Institute, as well as some other reference points to provide us with information around best of breed, best practices. We consulted with other organizations that we have good relationships with to understand what they were using, how they achieved, what they used as their criteria, what they saw as their threats, to ultimately make our selections around things like identity access and information security.
Well, Aaron, let's turn to you here. What are the hallmarks of a good security solution customer relationship? And this is what we're trying to get at with this episode. How does that work, and how do you build a relationship like that?
No, that's a great question, and I appreciate the question. So number one, most importantly, is to have complete transparency and understanding with your customers. Again, what's interesting is that I was a former CIO of a hospital system for a long time, and I was a customer of Improvada's. Now that I'm at Improvada as a CIO, I see it from both lenses. And to seek first to understand, to know your customers and know what the concerns are and understand truly how can your solutions benefit them, address their issues, a number of the issues Patrick brought up, all of those types of, again, seek first to understand is critically important. Number two, to solicit advice and input. How can we do better? Where are you going? What are the new threats that are developing in the landscape? You know, one of the things I always found interesting is, you know, every hospital system that we talk to, and there's almost 2,000 customers that we have globally and growing, they all face some of the same challenges, but then very unique ones depending on their region. The Nordics, per se, have a very different use case issues than, say, here in the States versus what we're seeing in the APAC regions like the Middle East. So there are unique variances that, you know, as a solution for customers, we need to be able to account for all of that. So how do you encompass and deal with the majority of the threats facing our customers today and have solutions that deliver? So again, seeking first to understand, making sure that your customers know that you're soliciting input from them and working with them, and then providing them solutions that work. Something Improvada takes tremendous pride in is actually showing true hard ROI case studies as to here's what we can do and here's what we do and here's how we deliver value. It's not just, hey, you know, take our word for it. It's here's the meat. Here's where the rubber meets the road. And that's crucially important in today's day and age.
Can you give us an example or two of how you mentioned that things can be quite different in Asia-Pac versus Europe and the U.S.? Is it a different threat landscape? What's different?
So what's different are actually, first and foremost, laws, data privacy laws. So right now, you know, you have GDPR, which is coming into place that takes the place of the privacy shield, which is going out. Well, GDPR is very different privacy rules in terms of what data can be shared among the European unions and then other countries such as the U.S. or other countries they see as friendly or not friendly to share data with. Well, that changes the name of the game when it comes to information sharing and thus information security. In addition to, if you look at, you know, like the Middle East, per se, there are certain countries there that don't allow data to leave the borders of their country. They will not allow data to leave one country to another neighboring country in the Middle East simply because they don't recognize that country as being whatever. Maybe there's historical issues there or whatnot. So there's very unique regional challenges there that layer into information security. And when you're looking at our solution sets, you know, how do we provide a ubiquitous solution that encompasses what we're supposed to be doing and then deals with all of these other scenarios? That's what we pride ourselves in. So we seek first to understand those issues, develop the solutions to make that happen, and then help the Patricks of the world to overcome the challenges they're facing.
When Patrick came to you, what kind of things did he need to bring to the table, so to speak, in order to effectively meet their business needs and help cement a solid relationship with you?
Great question. So it's very important for hospitals and hospital systems to understand that it's not a matter of if something's going to happen, but a matter of when. And it's better to seek first to understand internally as to how that could happen and to bring that forward, say, okay, these are the different vectors we need to mitigate and work through. Bay State is lucky to have a Patrick. Not many hospital systems have that kind of expertise or somebody that can do that. So trying to get your arms wrapped around this can be a very arduous task. So to go to any vendor and to come up and say, hey, I have these challenges, I have these threats, you're immediately starting off on the right foot. Secondly, to be very transparent, to say, look, this is what's really going on. I had somebody looking to try to grab paychecks or my pay stubs of my employees. That's important. Those are important things because we can make sure that we mitigate that as much as possible with our tool sets. So really understanding what it is that's going on and bringing that to the table is crucially important in delivering a solution.
Well, Patrick, then from your standpoint, we'll flip this around a little bit. In your experience and from your standpoint, what have you discovered is very important to build that kind of a relationship with any vendor, whether it's Improvata or others that you may have worked with?
You actually hit on a great point. We at Bay State have really pivoted from a rather old school and traditional model of vendor and client to one focused much more on partnerships. What we've realized is in the current marketplace, the threats are too numerous, the bad guys far too advanced for us as a single entity to effectively, you know, respond or mitigate the threats that they pose. So we do go and seek out best-of-breed solutions, but obviously, as I mentioned before, in consultation and with advisement from, you know, expert sources and peers. So the avenue that we've chosen on our side is to really expand upon our relationships, and Improvata is one of those key relationships that we have built upon, where we seek to engage with those partners, not vendors, partners, who are willing to push limits, explore with us, have the conversations, like Aaron was indicating, around what it is that we see as our threats, but then have the conversation around, well, what does Aaron see as a threat? Well, you know, I can speak to what I think is going to happen or where my fears and concerns lie, but it's very different for someone, you know, Aaron has occupied different seats, for him to be able to come forward with, yeah, but have you thought about this? Or, no, in my experience, that's not quite as much of a concern. So we're able to collaborate and share, but then the next step in that evolution is, and this is where I think security is really finally beginning to get some teeth, is in heuristics. And that's being able to take all of this data that is available and readily collectible and figuring out what the hell to do with it. It's one thing, you know, big data is wonderful, is useless if you can't generate actionable intelligence from it. And so we're now engaging in conversations around, okay, so we're using these solutions in this particular way and to meet this particular need, but we have an opportunity to use the data points that are collected and to transform and pivot the data in such a way that we go from just saying whether or not somebody perhaps accessed the system to how and when and perhaps even why they accessed the system, and then, you know, further extrapolation to say, but why did they access it at 2 a.m. when they only ever access between 8 and 5? And so instead of dealing with this environment where we're constantly having to look at everything from security perspective, we are now quickly and rapidly able to filter out to anomalies and behavior-driven heuristics that give us indicators as to where we really need to take the limited resources available to us and hone in on them. But then we also are leveraging, you know, groups, you know, those partners, with that exact information saying, help us develop solutions to get us there. And the trade-off is, you know, at Bay State, what we seek to do is if Aaron and his team were to come forward with, hey, we've got something we want to try, I basically turn our environment into a laboratory and I'll give them a segmented space and we will work together to see how can this, you know, does this work? This is a hypothetical, a theoretical. Does this work as we hope? Could we tweak or tune? And that's where the partnership, and you really what you start doing is you build a community-based defense mechanism as opposed to just singular point solutions that may or may not interrelate or interact.
Aaron, any thoughts on that?
No, Patrick hit the nail on the head. You know, something that Improvada, you know, has always done for years, and really, I just enjoy thoroughly is they truly look at their customers as part of their R&D team. And so there are customer advisory boards. There are ways of having input. Again, Bay State and other organizations open up their doors and say, hey, look, let's trial this. Let's look at heuristics. Let's look at palm vein scanning. Let's try to make sure that, you know, we can beat these major issues out there together. And that's the whole point. It's partnership, you know, for the goal of advancing care delivery. I think there's a lot of vendors out there that aren't really true partners, and they truly look at everything from the bottom line versus how can we actually change the name of the game and do the right thing. And, you know, a major reason why I came to Improvada a year ago from the provider side was because it wasn't about that. It's about truly making sure that we can help our customers, you know, access, communicate, and transact securely, and really make sure that, you know, my daughter's patient data, my patient data, my wife's patient data is secure in all forms of facets. So Patrick's spot on. It's about partnership.
So it sounds a little bit too like you've got creative people sitting around thinking, what if we did this? Is it kind of an, would you consider that to be an innovation process? Is there room for innovation in cyber?
Aaron, absolutely. Do you mind if I take this one?
Yeah, go ahead. But yeah, no, absolutely. But go ahead. Yeah.
So, and the only reason I jump on that one is we at Bay State have established TechSpring, which is our innovation center. And it is exactly for that purpose. It is a wholly owned subsidiary of the parent organization, but it is loosely tethered and deliberately so to allow for exactly that type of innovation to come through our doors. We have partners. Improvada is one. And what it does is, you know, as Aaron indicated, you know, treating us like an R&D partner is exactly right. We've had, you know, I'll get an email from someone on the product team at Improvada seeking to say, hey, you know, we've got something we want to test out. Might we be able to work with your team? And literally within a week, they can be boots on the ground, perhaps rounding an RED, which is one example of the past, where they were able to test out a new technology in a real-life environment with real patients moving about, but to be able to get that real-time environment. Now, you know, in fairness and full disclosure, you know, Improvada isn't the only partner in there, but Improvada is without question one of the more involved and actively seeking to join us. And, you know, we view them, as we do some of the others, as an extension of, you know, for lack of a better term, our wish list. It's an opportunity to talk about things and kind of, you know, vet and bounce ideas off each other. But then at the same time, once we've got one that's really got some teeth, it's not a matter of, well, okay, we got to do this, that, and the other thing. It's, okay, how much can we get done in the next 2 weeks and treat it almost like a scrum development effort or something along those lines and move very rapidly to either prove quickly that it's worth following up and take next steps or to very quickly go, wow, we were off track and regroup. And I think that having that ability to put people in not just a position to be creative and innovative, but to more importantly step it beyond the, hey, wouldn't it be great to, well, why don't we try this? That's a transformational step.
Yeah, and I'll just add on to that, Patrick. You're spot on. And I think too many times people don't listen. And I go back to, again, seek first to understand. It's such a crucial tenet of everything from the form of that partnership. You know, Patrick and I will have discussions, or Patrick and the team will have discussions, and we'll have discussions with other hospitals, you know, CIOs and senior leaders. And it's a very two-way street. It's here's what's working. Here's maybe our hypothesis was wrong. Maybe it's better this other way. And you develop together. And at the end of the day, when you both have the common goal of how do we make this more safe and secure for the patients that we serve, it's amazing what you can get done. And again, I go back to there's too many vendors out there and not enough partners. And if more would do just a simple act of understanding and listening, it's amazing what we could do for cybersecurity and transform the entire industry in general.
So what would both of you say is the number one lesson you've learned in all of your work and time that you've put into this kind of a relationship building, I guess? And what would you pass along to people? What should they be looking for and what should they avoid?
I'll go first. I think that the key element is I don't come from a healthcare background. I come from fintech and major manufacturers of technology. So stepping into a role in a health system and moving from vendor to buyer side, if you will, the opposite of what Aaron has done, has been very enlightening for me. What I've found, though, is that healthcare in many instances can be very proprietary and very colloquial, very closed down, very much we can do it ourselves, we have to do it ourselves, we have to keep our data on premise, we have to do this, that, and the other thing, and not necessarily have much of an outward-looking view. So I sort of say all of that as a lead into you've got to be smart enough to ask for help, and you have to seek out the partners that are truly interested in helping and moving the entire paradigm rather than just, oh, well, we want to get a check or something along those lines. Now, Aaron has alluded to a couple of times here that this really is about a much bigger picture. And in being able to participate in a larger environment and in a forum, you know, cybersecurity is not something that is unique and individual to any singular institution. It is something that can only be well addressed through the concerted and coordinated effort of many participants. You know, there really is no singular piece of this that provides you with a competitive advantage. It is always a battle, and you need as many allies in that front as you possibly can muster. So from our perspective, we do seek out, you know, guidance from good reference points. We seek out the knowledge and experience and expertise of our peers. We seek partners that will help us to provide the necessary protections that we seek out. We're not doing it all ourselves. We are seeking to do as much as we can, but enlisting help and assistance wherever and whenever possible.
Aaron, you want to follow up on that? You have your own number one?
Sure. No, I think Patrick is spot on. I would add this as well. For organizations looking for solutions, again, going from the provider side and now on the vendor side, listen to real-world data. Look at the facts. There's too much fear, uncertainty, and distrust out there, too much FUD floating around about cybersecurity. Oh, the world's ending, the sky is falling, you know, the heavens will turn to ash, you know, that kind of thing. None of that is realistic. Look at the data. Look at what's going on out there and deal with the real-world facts. Look for partners out there that are being very transparent and are willing to give you that data up front, not those who trash others and say, oh, you know, let me sell you this, you know, headlight washer fluid because it'll be better for you. No. What is real world? What is actual? What is relevant? How does this apply to your company, your organization? Those are the kinds of things that you need to do in looking through this. And again, cybersecurity is such a gigantic end-to-end endeavor that you have to take it in chunks. So the other advice I would give to aspiring organizations is to pace yourself. Don't try to do it all in one shot or you will fail. Take your time, do it right, do it pragmatically, and partner with those who truly want to partner with you and understand and develop and build solutions for you.
Excellent advice. We have time for one more question. Is there any area of security that our listeners need to pay more attention to?
Patrick, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think that's always a difficult one. I think that identity access management is, you know, one that is pretty broadly encompassing. Really, what it comes down to is, I think if I was going to phrase it differently, the area that concerns me most is the convergence of personal and professional data sets and the liability or the opportunity for information to move out through a channel that is not necessarily governed and controlled by the professional entity. So as you see the convergence of things, you know, social media accounts, the use of social media by entities directly and discreetly, not just their employees, but, you know, official accounts and handles and such, that creates jeopardy from my perspective in two ways. It's another potential access point, but it's also an exit point. So trying to come up with very strong and thoughtful governance around how and when information is communicated and the channels across which it goes is essential. And I know that many people are thinking about it, but I don't know that the conversation is complete. I think that's partly because the nature of those channels continues to evolve through new solutions, new providers, whatever it might be. But the penetration within institutions of personal devices that are more and more feature-enabled, so whether they have camera or recording or other such things, there's always going to be continued evolution of threat, and trying to figure out your next steps are going to continue to be one of the most difficult things you can do. The natural extension of that is the Internet of Things. And the greater the level of intelligence or technological capability that devices are going to have inside the walls, whether it's sensors or IV pumps or anything else, those are just further points of potential access or threat. And so figuring out how and when to enable particular features, controlling the data flows and all of those things, I think from a medical environment, that might be the most critical one that, quite honestly, I haven't seen sufficient solution to as yet, whether it's the lack of defined standards for networking, for IoT, a lack of defined security safeguards, whether in the machine language or other such things. You know, I think that's the area that's going to be the next front for all of us.
Good point. Yeah, we hear we hear people talk about, you know, bring your own device and all that, and I like how you portrayed that as a commingling of data and a magnification of risk because of that. Aaron, your point. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
No. I think Patrick was spot on, and I think there's a component to that also that I absolutely experience on the provider side, and I'm now seeing it on a global scale on the vendor side, which is really accurately identifying your patients and your patient population. I think as the Internet of Things comes more and more into play in hospital systems, CIOs and hospital leaders are going to be forced to have to deal with the very real fact that, you know, these devices, these patients are going to be interacting with the hospital system on a much different level than it was before. And so accurately identifying who is coming into your doors is really now fundamental. And it's fundamental to any security strategy with identity access management. But really accurately identifying this patient really is patient Aaron, who's really here for this surgery at 7 a.m. And it's not a case of fraud or a case of misidentification. It's a reality check. And hospitals are now waking up to that. Okay, we need to get our arms wrapped around this. We're seeing it anecdotally through claims adjudication where, you know, 5 or 10% of all claims are denied because of misidentification. So, you know, putting the cost savings factor alone, which by itself is significant, and just looking at it from a security lens purely, are you really going to allow a 5 or 10% variance of people accessing, you know, your devices on your network because you just don't know who they are? I mean, to me, that sounds ludicrous. You wouldn't tolerate that kind of variance if this is your hospital staff. So why are we tolerating it from our patient population? So looking at tools like biometrics and other ways to identify accurately your patient population is going to be crucial in the future.
Thank you. Patrick Streck is Senior Director IT Services at Bay State Health, and Aaron Meary is Chief Information Officer and Vice President Government Relations at Improvata. Patrick and Aaron, thank you so much for joining us on Code Red.
Thank you.
You can certainly tell from this conversation that these organizations have figured out what it means to build a partnership. Does your organization have partnerships, or are you stuck in the old paradigm? I hope this episode got you thinking in a different way about the way you work with your partners and about the role of innovation. Thanks to our guests Patrick Streck and Aaron Meary for sharing their experiences working together. Security changes every day. And sometimes we can't do it alone. Strength through teamwork, right? Code Red is a production of HIMSS North America. It's co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is our story editor and guest relations manager. And beyond this podcast, HIMSS also offers a cybersecurity community. Join 2,000 other professionals for great speakers and lots of information exchange every month. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Code Red.
Intrusion detected. Code Red.